And welcome to a special edition of Inside the Helmet, Mazda Road to Indy edition this time. But we have with us tonight a very special guest, young man from Norway, goes by nicknamed the Viking, Anders Krohn. Started out extremely young in motorsports. What, 3 and a half, I believe you were when your parents bought you your first kart, and never looked back, winning multiple championships and races, karting titles. Over in Norway and in Europe before coming over here in 2008 to run with Anderson Racing in the Formula 2000 series. After devastating that series in 2008, came to the Star Mazda Championship with Mundell Racing in 2009, then back with Anderson Racing in 2010, where he finished second in points behind Connor Daly. And now stepping up once more with Bilardi Auto Racing into the Indy Lights series. We welcome Anders Krohn. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure.
Pleasure is all ours, to be sure. So I mentioned that you had you gotten your start extremely early. You had mentioned on your website that you were 2 years old when you sat in your first kart, and that was it. You knew right then that you were going to be a racer. At 3 and a half, your parents get you a kart. Did your parents have a connection with motorsports? Because you don't see that kind of early support without having a real passion for the sport.
Yeah, they did. My dad raced karts before I was born, but they didn't try to push me towards anything. But it was actually when I got to sit in a go-kart when I was 2 years old that I was really hooked, and I think they realized that I was already, I had racing in my blood. And all through my upbringing, I tried out every single sport, and of course, every other sport than racing, I was pretty much terrible at. So I wasn't too bad at racing, so I stuck with it. And of course, it's right now the best profession in the world for me, and I couldn't be happier doing what I'm doing.
Well, you obviously have a knack for racing. Early on, your first wins in kart as a and as you won national championships at record-setting young ages there in 2003, 2005, there in Norway, Northern Europe. When did you first realize that you had enough talent behind the wheel that you can make a genuine career out of driving race cars? And how did that realization change your outlook to the sport and really towards your racecraft?
Well, I don't think there's really one point where you realize, hey, this is going to be something. I think it's just you take it a year at a time and you push forward. And for me, the big transition was when I was done with high school. I decided to take 1 year off school to pursue racing. There was a lot of sponsorship that had to be gained in order for me to go to open wheel racing. So that was my focus for half a year. And I managed to get my way into Formula Ford, and then kind of just, snowballed effect its way to where I'm at right now. But I don't think there's one specific point where you realize that that you can make it or can't make it.
Early on, one of the awards that you won was the Autosport Driver of the Year Award. And this was in 2005, I believe, when you were doing shifter kart racing and won the North European Championship. Is that right? Do I have that title right?
Yes, that's correct. Both 2005 for that championship and in 2008 for the U.S. Formula 2000 championship. So that's competing against the World Rally Champion Petter Solberg and such things.
Well,
so that's always a great honor, of course.
That was the thing that came up to us because, as you've seen from our site, in addition to being huge IndyCar fans and open wheel fans, we also love rally racing. All of us here at Open Paddock really look up to and enjoy watching Petter Solberg race. And given that rally racing has such a huge tradition in Norway, were you ever tempted to try your hand at rally?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've tried the rally on a couple of occasions, both on ice and gravel and tarmac, and it's a lot of fun. It's very challenging, but for me, I've never been in doubt that open wheel racing or should I say road course racing is the way to go for me. But for sure, whenever the chance is right, I would love to expand my horizon even more and do some rallying.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I would say that we have a nice little rally championship here in the U.S., the Rally America Series, And there's a couple of rallies right before the season starts. I don't know if you're familiar with Rally America, but they just had a race just north of Indiana there in Atlanta, Michigan, Snowdrift Rally, and we've got another coming up in Salem, Missouri. Be a perfect little couple of one-offs for you if you wanted to try
I couldn't agree anymore, and
it.
I'm going to leave it up to you guys to hint me to which team I can talk to.
Okay. Well, in transitioning from carts to cars, one of the things that you did early on was to run the Junior Touring Car Championship. But you only did that for a season before going back to open wheel racing. What was it that led you away from the fendered racing? And was it something that you were always set on doing open wheel and just had the opportunity to try out the touring cars? Or what happened with that situation?
Well, it was an interesting situation because it originally looked to be a very good opportunity, but it ended in me doing only half a season of that championship, and it was basically because I was put in a position where I had equipment that wasn't sufficiently good enough. It was a car that was 5 years old, and it had ran, just events. It had never been raced before, so it wasn't properly maintained. And as soon as I saw halfway through the season that there was no hope of making any improvements, result-wise, I decided to stop and focus on karting for that year, and then refocus for to do some open wheel racing the following year. So that was for sure a tough period of my career where I had some tough choices to make, and but luckily now I'm pretty happy with the choices that I made.
Good. So it was a lesson learned on the value of being hooked up with a good team.
Absolutely. You can't you really can't put enough weight on that, and that's why you've seen me run 2 seasons with Anderson Racing, because they're such a great group of guys, and I'm just thrilled to have been able to work with those guys. And even though they're on a hiatus now, you never know, they might come back. But for right now, I'm thrilled to be with Bellotti Auto Racing in Firestone Mini Lights, which I think will do a stonking job this year.
We're very much looking forward to that. Now, during this time, right after your touring car and as you're doing some F2000 stuff, or the Formula Ford stuff there in Europe, beg pardon, had you always had an aspiration to come here to the U.S., or were you looking towards some European series? What was it that led you over here in 2008 to come run the F2000 National Championship with Anderson?
Well, I've always had an admiration and just general interest in the IndyCar and then, Champ Car series. But it wasn't until I came over here that I really realized how big this is. But to me, it was just the right opportunity came at the end of 2007. Dan Anderson from Anderson Racing told me to come over and do a test, and we did that, and that went very well. Just everything fell in place for us to do a campaign together, and really, from that first season, I've never looked back, and right now I'm 100% committed to the North American racing scene and nothing else.
Cool. Well, as huge fans of IndyCar, we're very happy to hear that, I tell you that. In 2009, after you absolutely crushed everybody in the 2008 F2000 National Championship, winning, what, 9 of the various races? I wish I had that stat in front of me. I should have. Yeah, 9 wins out of 14 races, 7 poles, 10 podiums, 8 fastest laps. You go on then to race with Mundial Racing in the Star Mazda Championship. And first of all, going from the F2000 cars up to the Star Mazda cars, definitely more horsepower, a little bit more speed. Also, a very different type of power plant with the rotary engine. What kind of transition was that like for you going to the Star Mazda car as opposed to the F2000?
Well, the cars are black and white driving wise. The F2000 car is, first of all, a very long and a wide car that's very, very stable. And then you go over to the Star Mazda, which has a shorter wheelbase and also narrower. So it's more unstable and very interesting car to drive, especially with a rotary power plant. So it was a transition for sure. But again, it's one of those things. If you have a good car, it's not that hard to make the transition. So I think, as an open wheel driver, now I'm transitioning into the Firestone Indy Lights car, which is a totally different beast again. And it's just one of those things that you get used to it quickly, and then it's just a matter of utilizing what you have available together with the team.
Sure. In 2010, of course, you ran the you were reunited back with Anderson Racing and had a far more consistent season in Star Mazda than you did in 2009. 2009, you had your first race win at the Milwaukee Mile, but had kind of inconsistent results throughout the year, whereas in 2010, unfortunately no race wins, very close, but nothing less than P5. You were in the top five in every single race of 2010. I don't think even IZOD IndyCar Series champion Dario Franchitti could say that. even he didn't finish in the top five every single race of his season. So I was wondering, you know, which of those two seasons, as a racer, is really more satisfying for you? A season like 2009, where you had a race win but had some consistency issues, or 2010, where you didn't have a race win, but you were much more consistent and finished second in the championship?
Really tough question. I think in 2010 we came in and we kind of, I wouldn't say expected to win, but we certainly expected to challenge for a race win on a more regular basis. And we did. But we just didn't quite have that edge that we needed at any point during the season to kind of just run away with a win, which was very frustrating to say the least, but at least we did back it up with some consistency. So I'm happy with the consistency, but at the same time, you know, winning is what it's all about, and let's just hope we can do some of that this year.
Yeah, nothing quite beats sitting on that top step, right?
Yeah, no, that's a unique feeling for sure.
Now, in 2009, you know, you raced at the Milwaukee Mile, and then at the Iowa Speedway. Was that your first exposure to American oval racing? Had you done any of that in the past? And what were your impressions being there on an oval track there perhaps for the first time?
That was just, it was my first time. The Milwaukee Mile was my first ever race, and it was just such a big challenge. And I think coming from Europe, you know, you underestimate the challenge of racing on an oval. But right now, I've just got the highest amount of respect for both the IZOD IndyCar and the NASCAR guys for doing what they're doing, because it's tremendously challenging. And actually, last year, 2010, I got to attend the Indy 500 for the first time, and I was just blown away. And I totally now respect the ability that these guys need to have. And I honestly think that to be the top IZOD IndyCar driver, you know, you need to be one of the most versatile racers in the world, and that's why the championship is so good. So I love it, and I can't wait to do more ovals.
Fantastic. Well, you're going to get your chance this season, because the 2011 Firestone Indy Lite Series is going to have substantially more ovals than what you've had in the past, including, you know, perhaps I think this will be your first opportunity to actually race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You said you were at the 500 for the first time last year, but now you're actually going to get to race a car in anger around that circuit. That's got to be exciting and also intimidating at the same time, yeah?
You know, I'm just aching to get in the car and to go around there, and, you know, with an average speed of close to 190, it's going to be pure insanity. And as far as the whole, you know, being afraid thing, you really don't have time for that. It's just a matter of, you know, sticking the throttle all the way down and just letting what happens, happens.
Well, in 2010, you had a really nice season with Anderson Racing. Of course, you had an amazing season with them in 2008. They've always been a real stand-up organization, and I tell you, We were all saddened and disappointed when they announced they were going to take a hiatus from racing, and of course that left you looking for another place to be, another place to show off your skill as a racer, and Bilardi Auto Racing stepped up and hired you for their to be their 2011 Firestone Indy Lights racing. How did you and Bilardi Auto Racing find each other? How did that relationship begin?
It started with me actually working for them. Well, they were previously called Liberty Motorsports, and I worked for them this past season as driver coach and engineer for their F2000 effort. And they actually hired Larry Nash earlier last year, which was my race engineer when I won the Milwaukee Mile race. So it's just a lot of people coming together that I already know. And then they also hired my engineer from 2010, Mike Reggio. So it's just like a family organization already, you know, even though we haven't been on track yet, you know, it's an organization that I know, and there are so few unknowns that to me, when they came and proposed me this deal, it was an easy decision to make.
Well, you know, you bring something up that perhaps a lot of us fans don't really understand or appreciate the importance of, perhaps, and that is the relationship between the driver and the race engineer. Typically, when a driver comes to a new team, it's a completely new environment. You're dealing with new mechanics, new team managers, new race engineers, and for much of the preseason, and even I would imagine a few of those early races, you're still trying to feel each other out and get the right communication going. How big is this for you to come into a situation at Bilardi Auto Racing where you already know a lot of the people and you have an established relationship, especially with your race engineer?
It's super important, and also I forgot to mention, but they also hired my main mechanic from 2008, Chuck Lessig. So you know, it's so important for us because we have a whole new car to learn, a whole new series to learn. So it's great that we can take away that element of having to learn the people. So for me to be able to give the feedback to my engineers and mechanics the way I have done it and not have to change that is going to be massive for us. So I'm very excited about that prospect and think that that's going to give us an edge on other up and, you know, starting teams that that have to get to know each other in addition to the cars in the series.
Well, I imagine it's going to give you an up on even some established teams coming in with new drivers. So that's got to be an incredibly positive thing.
Well, I mean, it's only, you know, time will tell, but I feel really good about it. And the guys have been working so hard over the winter to prepare the cars, and we're just now getting ready for the first test. And man, it's going to be an exciting one, that's for sure.
Now, where is your first test coming up? There's an open test at Barber Motorsports Park in March, but are you doing any private testing?
Yes, we will be kicking off our testing in the next week or so, and we'll be doing some intensive testing leading up to that that official test, and also after that. So hopefully, by the time the season comes around, we'll be ready, prepared, good to go, and ready to kick some ass.
Fantastic. Well, how do you see the 2011 season playing out then? You know, obviously you're very optimistic about the season and very positive about especially the people that you have around you, which is, you know, hugely important. But as a new team coming to a coming to the series with a trying to come to grips with a new car, new circuits, do you think you could challenge big teams of Andretti Autosport, Sam Schmidt Autosport, who are perennial top performers in this series, and challenge them for the championship and race wins right out of the gate?
It's again, it's very difficult to say, but I'd like to think so, and I certainly hope so. And you know, for us, it's all going to be about just continuous progression, just getting better and better every single outing we have, and then we'll see where we're at during the first race weekend and how fast we can progress. But I mean, if we can just have a progression all the way through the year, we'll be super happy and hopefully end up with one of the top positions in the championship. That would be, if we can do that, then I can't see us asking for much more.
Well, you perhaps already answered my next question in some of your statements before about being impressed with American open wheel racing and the whole, you know, indie scene. And that is to think about, where do you see yourself in 2012, 2013, perhaps? Are you looking to move into the iZot IndyCar series? Where would you like to? Would you like to be in a year or two?
I don't really want to lock down a time frame on anything because again, there are so many you know, floating things in racing that you really just got to take the opportunities as they come. But for sure, My dream is to be in the Izod IndyCar Series one day, and at the same time also be a sports car racer, be able to fight for some of the biggest sports car race wins in the United States and across the world. So for me, it's all about, I'm just a racer at heart, and I'll drive whatever I can drive, and will always aim at being at the top of the field.
Well, you know, one of the other things that we really enjoy here at Open Paddock is, of course, the American Le Mans Series and the sports car racing they offer there. And this coming year, and it looks like this might be a tighter and tighter relationship as years go by. A lot of our race weekends are shared with the American Le Mans Series, say at Long Beach at Mid-Ohio, at the new Grand Prix of Baltimore. Have you had any contact, perhaps, with any of the ALMS teams of maybe doing a stint in one of the LMPC cars or the GT3 cars?
I've had some conversations with the team both in the American Le Mans Series and the Grand Am Rolex Series, so not that I can reveal any information, but yes, I am working on, at some point, making my sports car debut, and still don't know if it's going to be this year or not, but that's certainly something that I'm working on.
Well, sure, we'd love to see you try that out. As I said, we're huge sports car racing fans as well. On the nature of fan interaction, because after all, we are not a journalism site. We are a commentary site by a bunch of fans, writing for and speaking for other fans. One of the things that perhaps we as fans fail to realize at times, that when we're attending and enjoying a race weekend, we often forget that the racetrack, that's your office, that you're on the clock. You're at your job. And while we're having a great time, you're working. If fans want to meet you at the race on a race weekend, want to come up and get your autograph, talk to you, get a picture, what advice would you give them? When would be the good times to do that? What would be the best ways to do that?
Well, the best way is whenever you see me, just come up and I'll certainly answer, or try to at least answer, all of the questions and such, because again, we're a fan-driven sport. So if we don't have the fans, you know, we don't race. So for me, that's never been an issue. And regardless of when I'm in the Indy 500 or whatever it may be, I'll always take the time for that. And whether it would take 3 hours or 2 hours or 10 hours, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's all about the fans.
Fantastic. Well, us being fans watching the sport, we talk to a lot of people in the sport and realize, well, it in a lot of ways, of course, they're fans as well, and have had people that they've looked up to in the past. And so let me ask you, from a fan perspective, if you could spend one day at any track with any driver, where would you spend it and with whom would you spend it?
Wow. I've never actually thought that, but my favorite driver right now would be Justin Wilson, so I would probably be at Watkins Glen International with him.
Excellent, excellent choice. Where, as fans, can we follow you as you progress through the year? On Twitter, Facebook, a website, if you have any of those you'd like to promote to us?
Yeah, all the above, actually. My website, www.anderskrohn.com, and then I have my Twitter at Anders Krohn, and also you can look up my Facebook group, Anders the Viking Krohn, and I'll try and interact with all my fans to the best of my abilities all throughout the year.
Well, thank you, Anders, for taking time to speak with us. We're really honored and appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation. We love the opportunity to be able to.
Thank you
to,
so much, Doug, for having me, and it's been a great pleasure to be on here, and I hope you know, we can keep this relationship up and keep talking.
Fantastic. Any last thing you'd like to say directly to our listeners?
No, just keep following openpaddock.net. It's a great website that's growing, and more people are going to get to know it, and hopefully They'll fill it with lots of cool interviews with different drivers in the weeks to come. So I'm very excited about it.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.